14, I do encourage you to go and online back and listen to and enter into what we set in motion. It's going to continue, but I want to come at it another angle. The gist of it was, in Acts chapter 2, you have Pentecost, which was the day the Holy Spirit came, which was the promise Jesus had received from the Father that he sent in his glorification. And the disciples had been praying for 10 days, and they, on that day of Pentecost, in the Tanakh, that week, would be the reading of Ezekiel chapter 1 through 3. And so they had been reading Ezekiel 1, and there's the description of the glory of God, and thereby, when the glory of God came in the Holy Spirit, it was a real quick connecting point that they were indeed, this Jesus was now the glorified man on the throne. And after the upheaval of the Holy Spirit has to be explained, you know, this raucous behavior, this drunken behavior, because all they were doing was just talking of the marvelous, the magnificence of God. Just the magnificence of God, because they'd been reading, now they were experiencing. The correlation of the wind and the sound and the fire and the lightning and the movement, it was just happening. Once they got enough people to be, okay, it's all right, this is in the Bible, it's okay, we're not used to this kind of outbreak of the Holy of God, but it is in the Bible and it is prophesied by Joel. Then they go to the purpose of which the Holy Spirit came, which was to magnify Jesus Christ as the resurrected King and the Lord. And he, by doing so, he began to fulfill his mission. And his mission, when fulfilled, will bring a glorification to the church into the image of Jesus Christ. So one of the things that's happening for me, I don't know how long it's been happening, but it's increasing now continually, is the revelation of the glorified Christ and who he is. And so what I want to do something, because we cannot, like what Cammy said, is we cannot, flesh and blood cannot reveal to us who Jesus Christ is. That's what Jesus said to Peter, and that's to true the rest of the day. We cannot inherit the kingdom with the flesh and the blood. And but when the Holy Spirit comes, he can unveil to us what we cannot ourselves perceive and receive of Jesus. In Jesus Christ is everything you need. The exalted, glorified Lord. Not the one that walked the shores of Galilee. That was a historic, true, only begotten Son of God. Man, but the resurrected man has been exalted to Christ, to Lord, to high priest of our confession. He is the first raised from the dead, the first healed, the first saved, the first delivered, the first prosperous man of the firstborn of a new creation. And because he is, we, by beholding him, worshiping him, and come in contact with him, we are transformed into the image he is. So your healing is in Jesus. Your salvation is in Jesus. Your deliverance is in Jesus. Your prosperity is in Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Last week, as we closed the service, the Lord, we were ministering to, and I believe it's going to happen again, to all who are being pressed of the devil, all who are being setting with illnesses that have been long disabilities that have lasted a long time. And we just, the Lord was intent on touching lives. He told me I wanted to do that and heal all. And it was a pleasant manifestation. And there was strength and unction. But I was then with the Lord on Monday and I was reconciling. Okay, Lord, you said you were going to heal all. Yeah. And before I got to really kind of ask, well, he said, I did. Heal all. And you see, now I'm having to learn to have a conversation with the resurrected Lord. And I'm having to have a conversation with the Lord who has completed all things and now is not the problem or the limiter. He is the fulfillment and the giver. So in the moment, I know my theology supports that statement he just made. Because Jesus doesn't come to church today and say, how was the worship? Pretty good. I like that. I like the songs about me. How was the offering? He's already counted it, so he knows. How are the people behaving? How they handle their week? What have they been doing? Where have they been going? Wow, I'm so pleased with your behavior. I think I'm just going to heal 60% of the people today. The 60 good people. 60% of the good people. We know that's ludicrous. It's totally anti-Christ, anti-biblical. Yet, we live like it's true. See, I'm not talking about that we don't believe, but we don't believe. Okay, so let's go to this. These are the last words Jesus speaks about Holy Spirit's mission, whom he is emphatically telling his disciples, it is necessary for me to go so he can come. And when he comes, this is what he's doing. Last words, John 16, verse 5. Says, but now I go away to him who sent me. And none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I've said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, and if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Biblically, historically now, the only sin that we will be judged for that would separate us for eternity is unbelief in Christ. All other sins have been paid for, past, present, and future. All awful things. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. There is no understanding of true righteousness unless we have the ability of the Holy Spirit to communicate to us. Righteousness comes by the believing Father raised Jesus from the dead, and faith is the imputed righteousness that we be found in him. This is Paul's prayer. I lost everything. I count it dung. I consider it of no value in order that I might gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, but that which is in through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God by faith. That is why so many of us have gone through so many awful things. You had to get your righteousness taken out of you. You were just so helpful. So important and so, yeah, you know, you had to have your righteousness dragged out of you so that there was none of you. And just, it's by faith. So the Holy Spirit's involved in that. And of judgment, because the ruler of this world's judged. So now we have no more issue with the enemy being able to hold his place, though he still continues to try to hold his place because he uses the power of accusation and slander and divination, all the means which we can yield to, but he has no legal ground to unless we yield to. So the Holy Spirit's going to come in here and he's going to just be doing this in the world, and it's going to make such a difference. I still have many things to say to you. I still have many things. But you can't bear them. You cannot lift them. You can't carry them. They're beyond the ability for. I have so many things to say to you. However, now here he is, last words of Jesus about Holy Spirit. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority. That's a poor translation. Old King James would say he will not speak of himself. Authority is just, in other words, he's not going to talk about himself. He has a mission. This is the top title of my message, the mission of the Holy Spirit. He'll not speak of himself, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you or show you or cause you to understand and be able to comprehend things to come. He will glorify me. You want more miracles in your life? Let the Holy Spirit help you glorify Jesus. You want more help in your life? Get out of your stuff and glorify Jesus. It's already been resolved in as far as heaven's going, and Christ will not die a second time to save us. But the fact is, he saved us, and we can lift pick up. He will take what is mine and declare it to you. He will take what is mine. He will take, he will obtain Labano, he will receive what is mine, and then he will make a declaration. He will make it clear to you. He will reveal to you. He will make it plain to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Whoa. Do you think whatever it is today that's pestering, attacking, destroying, is out of the realm of the Father? No. See, in Pentecost, devout Jews got fully converted to Christ's supremacy and right-handed seated place, and they came into faith. It was not the sinners. It was not the wicked people seeking ways to control and manipulate man. It was devout people. That's you and me. The first people to get saved are the devout people. The first people to enter into a new place in God are the devout people. And the way we lose what we have is we think what we have is all that we need. And when we think what we have is all, then we lose what we have. And when we begin to awaken to the hunger that this can't possibly be all that Jesus is, and then figure, well, Jesus probably isn't geriatric. He's probably not changed. So I'm going to go back into a journey to discover all that Jesus is. And it feels like, well, I shouldn't be there. I should know this already. Well, you know it now intellectually. You actually even knew it experientially. But the experience went so far along, now the intellect is all that you have left, the memory. And we have to start to move ourselves. We return. We start to awaken. We start to press in. That's why we're doing prayer. So the Holy Spirit, Jesus saying, okay, Holy Spirit, he's going to take everything that's mine and everything the Father is mine, and he's going to just declare it to you. A little while, you will not see me. And again, a little while, and you will see me because I go to the Father. That tells you, how do you see Jesus today? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit makes Jesus real. Nobody can get a telescope big enough to go up and peer into heaven and see if Jesus is still there on the throne. Nobody can take the scriptures and force them to teach about Jesus because they're locked up mystery. If you're not ready, God will keep it a closed door to you because it would hurt you more to know it than to know it and receive it. He waits for the receiving. So it's Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, Jesus saying, okay, so guys, you're all discouraged, you're all messed up, you're sad, you're sorrowful. This is like the state of the church, the sad and the sorrowful. I love Jesus. I can't understand what's going on. Because your soul took over your journey, and your spirit won't get to rise up and rejoice. Your spirit's a rejoicer. Your soul's a magnifier. Whatever your soul focuses on, it will make it bigger. Focus on your problems, they grow. Focus on your sorrow, it grows. Focus on your poor me, you are poorer. Focus on Jesus, and he grows and magnifies, and everything is in him. It's just simple. That's what prayer is. Prayer is taking a broken soul and submitting it to a perfect image of the resurrected Christ to whom I'm becoming like him. And I cannot but be changed into that. That's where the glory then starts to come. And the glory is huge right now. And that's where the Holy Spirit comes. He brings this big old show with him. Hot dog, he comes in with a show. Seriously. Do you not think he's bigger than Netflix? More impressive than George Lucas? Is he more He is incredible. But that's because he can pull all the bells and whistles and make anything happen. But it's all about Jesus. So now here's the deal. Take Jesus out of the picture. He goes. Just the wings go down. The noise stops. Is he going to teach you to have a good marriage? Is he here to help us make America great again? Or put us first? Or to get you a house? No, he's here for one reason, to glorify Jesus Christ. Now, in the glorifying Jesus Christ, he's going to take everything that God, Jesus, is giving you and making it real. But it's all about Jesus. You see, we went in there and we said, thank you, Jesus, I'm so happy I'm in your kingdom. Now, where's the stuff? And then when he started saying, you know, the stuff's all here. It's all here. Come, 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 come on. And then we start going through the journey of transformation and we freak out. Betrayal, offense, loss, confusion, ourselves show up again, again, again. And it's just, he goes blank because we wanted to make it all now about fix me, heal me, help me. Which is wonderful to have an honest conversation. But the power of the risen Lord, the glorified Christ, the magnificent, I mean magnificent. He is better than any, he's better than drugs. I already told you that. He's better than sex. You aren't all sure about that, but it's true. He's better than sex. In fact, if you love him well, sex gets better. If you love him well, you're higher than a kite. He is the only, he is whom we are to worship, and in our worship we become who he is, and it makes everything that we're to be and do healthy and whole and powerful and wonderful. And I'll be honest with you, the reason so many of us are stuck is we stopped glorifying Christ, let the Holy Spirit have access to our spirit to rise up. Instead, we sat down in our soul and we got sad. As though some strange thing happened to us. Betrayal. Offense, sin, wickedness, stupidity. Is that strange to you? Are you that good that you weren't going to have that happen to you? Are you that such a contributor to the kingdom that none of these things had to befall you? I mean, who is going to not, you know, I said it in the prayer meeting. Becky said, oh, pray for the three people that are representing all the altar ministry to come up to pray at the service. And said, okay. And then I'm praying, I'm saying, Holy Spirit, you're going to come to glorify Christ and access to the glory of Christ, all that God has given, and you're going to release healings and miracles. There's going to be signs and blunders. I said that. I knew it was the Holy Spirit. There's going to be signs and blunders because humanity is going to get involved. And that's the beautiful thing. That's the beautiful thing. See, we're all living there so religious. Religion kills you. It steals your essence. But the flesh kills you too. Because it goes unruly and it's self-destructive. Only Jesus saves it. But you see, so fast forward to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, verse 6. Jesus prophesying the Holy Spirit's coming. He's going to glorify, magnify. Disciples, verse 4. And being assembled together, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, that's Holy Spirit, which he said, you've heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from here. Oh, when they heard this and they came together, they asked him, saying, Lord, is that the time now to restore the kingdom to Israel? Do you understand? We just always are thinking, restoration of my kingdom. Get my place back. Finally, I'll be recognized. Finally, my husband will know how smart I am. Finally, my boss will recognize and pay me the money I'm due. No, he said, it's not for you to know times and seasons, which the Father's put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me. Why? Because the power of the Holy Spirit is to witness Jesus. The power of the Holy Spirit is to witness who Jesus has become in the resurrection, the glorified Christ, the ascended one, the firstborn among many brethren, not the only begotten Son of God, the man, Christ Jesus, seated at the right hand of God. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And now when he had spoken these things, he went up. Chapter 2. Holy Spirit comes, have to explain what's happening. People going, okay. But verse 22, after he explains enough Holy Spirit, it's not about Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit didn't want it to be about him. He wants it about Jesus. He's not doing his job if it's not Jesus being glorified. We're missing the point. It's all going to come. I mean, he's a big, jolly, full of laughter, full of conviction, full of miracles. He can demonstrate anything of Christ. He has access. He is the administrator of all gifts, all healings, all miracles. He is the one who carries all the fruit, and he's the one who has all of the offices that he energizes the whole thing, man. But it's all in concert to Jesus and who Jesus is and Jesus is doing. So you lose Jesus and all this is like just a car without gas. Lose its purpose. So, men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. Him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God. You taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death because it was not possible that he should be held by it. For David says concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart will rejoice and my tongue will be glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope, for you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You have made me full of joy in your presence. Whew. There's so much joy in the presence of God, some of you would just freak the world out if you got a hold of it. You would just rise and you'd be like, you know, plane, I don't need a plane. There's so much life in God. And David touched it. He was a part of it. He engaged in it. Men and brethren, let me though speak freely to you. The patriarch David, he's both dead and buried, and his tomb is here today. Mac McCoy would take you to Israel, and he'd take you to the upper room, and he'd say, underneath the upper room is David's tomb. Now all the devout Orthodox Jews are down there worshiping God, trying to connect to God at the tomb of David. And we're up here, all these Gentiles in this upper room, trying to connect to the Holy Spirit. And nobody's having much success because we're seeking the living among the dead. There's the access point is not in a place; it's in a person. Come on now, you're not hearing me. It's in a person. It's in a person. It's in a person. It's not a movement. It's not a nation. It's not a people. It's not a group. It's a person. Anybody, pick up and touch that person and they're healed, they're delivered, they're redeemed, they're enlivened. And you can't tell me that anyone who touches him won't receive from him all that he is because of something about them forbids him to communicate beautiful stuff. He is not that way. It is accessible because he's giving it freely to all. And the only thing that differentiates is those who receive and those who don't. Those who have faith to the moment and can then... Well, I'll just show you in a minute. Okay, so he's both dead, buried, and tomb. Therefore, being a prophet, David, knowing God, had sworn an oath that he would, out of the fruit of his body, raise up a Christ to sit on his throne. For he, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God has raised up, which we are witnesses. Everybody say, this Jesus. This Jesus. This is the Jesus we need to worship and begin to behold. This is the Jesus we need to have impact and be influenced. This is the proclamation. This is the gospel. This is the declaration. We went backwards trying to explain the future, and we lost the future because we focused on the back. We're trying to drive a car looking at the rearview mirror to see where we're going. We need to look where in the future where we're going. Then we know what's happening, why it's happening, and we can let it happen. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, Jesus. I had to tie my shoe. Sorry. Those of you online, tie your shoe, please. I'm just telling you, I can relax because somebody right now in this room is starting to see Jesus for their provision, for their healing, for their deliverance, for their redemption. It isn't the church. It isn't your good works, and it's certainly not your good looks. It's Jesus. Sorry. And the better you look, the worse it'll be. I'll let you think on that later. But Jesus, he is everything. He He is healer, he's savior, he's deliverer. He is the first and first man raised from the dead who is continually being saved, healed, and delivered. That's what his name means, and that's who he is. That's therefore we join to him, can receive from him all that God has done for him. It's not a decision, it's faith. It's that awakens us to his righteousness, to his resurrection, to his victory. And so he being exalted, this is the issue. Jesus has been exalted to the right hand of God. When you pray, that's where he is. Yes, you can gain comfort from the stories of the Galilee. But if you want to get answers, go see the Jesus sitting on the right hand of the Father. Exalt him. Lift him up. He's a healer. He's a deliverer. He's a redeemer. He's a joy-filled one. He has the scepter of righteousness. He's Alpha, the Omega. He has the keys of Hades and death. He is the firstborn among many brethren. He is Lord. He is wisdom from God. He is righteousness, sanctification. He's redemption. Having been exalted to the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit. Father, in Jesus' ascension, bringing his blood to cleanse heaven, humanity, history, eternity, as high priest, holds the place before God, sits down as Christ, as Lord and Christ, waiting for his enemies to be made a footstool. Upon his seating, the coronation, the anointing oil that he receives it, and he says, okay, it's on the head, let it hit the body. Jesus administrates the Holy Spirit. Jesus sends the Holy Spirit. It was the Father's promise, Jesus sends him. That's old Pentecostal teaching. He's the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. I mean, he's so big. He's so big. And he's still the baptizer of the Holy Spirit. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a continuum, just like everything else in the kingdom is a continuum. Healing every day, salvation every day, deliverance every day. It's a continuum of enjoyment and exploration and discovery. It's unlimited. So now you see it, you're hearing it, tongues and this expressiveness. It's all about the gift because of the giver, Jesus. For David did not ascend into the heavens. But he says to himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand. It's all because Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God. Everything is accessible. Anything you need is because of Jesus sitting at the right hand of God. That's why Romans 8 says, who can bring a charge against God's elect? It's God who justifies. How did he justify? He raised Jesus from the dead. Jesus couldn't have been raised from the dead unless we were all justified. Now that we're all justified, Jesus raised from the dead, there's not a sin or charge can be sent against you. The blood. Dear God, do not try to be holy. Be holy. Don't try. And be holy is to receive the Holy One and worship. Come on. Come on. Some of you ought to be shouting, thank you, Jesus. Well, and then some of you, you know, I know, you are a special group of people that you could actually do it. You let me know how that works out. But for those of you who have discovered you are not righteous, or the righteousness you have you don't want to count on, let him be your righteousness. Let the blood of the Lamb answer every charge. Oh, did I? Not the ones you're not guilty of. That, of course, slander, accusation. But especially the ones you're guilty of. Just undo the accusation, say that's absolutely true, but unfortunately for you and for me, I've been made into the image of Jesus Christ, and I'm saved and loved and healed and delivered. And I'm just forever grateful for this position I've been granted in Christ. So I won't argue with you that I am this, do this, and done that, and we'll do it again. It doesn't matter. It is who Jesus is and what he'll always be. And that's who I got my eyes on. So would you please not talk to me? Talk to the blood. And then with the blood comes the word of our testimony. The word of our testimony is everything we see and hear of Jesus. Everything we see and hear of Jesus is the testimony that gives us our future and a hope. In heaven, it's called our confession of hope. It's the part of that we bring to God in our worship season, experiences by ourselves, and especially to admit, to administer to Father in agreement, because the hope is a unique inheritance we have been given in Christ for our future. And then loving not our life is the Holy Spirit just making us intoxicated in love and not afraid to die. So he says, sit here till I make your enemies your footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, the one we're talking about, this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Both Lord and Christ. Both Lord and Christ. We can come out of the effects of anything that the world, the flesh, and the devil can put on us if we will but behold the risen Lord and worship both Lord and Christ and attribute to him his victory and give to him his praise and describe unto him his majesty and be in awe of his wonder, and that Holy Spirit say, Holy Spirit, come and tell me more about Jesus. I need to see more. There's more of the treasure of the Father that Jesus possesses that is yet to be positioned into my being. I want you to open me up to see. So when they heard this, they were cut to their heart. And Peter said to the rest of the, they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, what do we do? These were devout people wanting to, being so impacted, not by the demonstration of the Holy Spirit's laughter and fun. It got their attention, but by the preaching of the resurrected Christ. And the resurrected Christ now is the answer to everything. You getting this? The resurrected Christ is accessible to anyone in this room. And who gives a rip what's happened to you? Get over it. It's bad. It's awful. Write a book. But get over it. You are not any more important because you've been trampled underfoot by men, and nor are you any less fortunate in future purposes of God because you've been trampled underfoot by men. It's just a training process. And our soul is sitting there going, no, because that's what the soul uses to say no to bad things. It also says no to good things. And so God's trying to say, oh, come on, guys, please, please. You know, my son could heal you of that. You know, my son could make you happy again. You know, my son could make you feel righteous, even though you have come to terms with your own humanity. You know, my son could make you forgive again, let go of everybody. You could get happy being broke instead of miserable broke. If you get happy broke, you might get happy prosperous. My son can handle that. So release. You got to trust. No fear, no control. Trust. Peter said to him, this is what you do. Repent. Think a new thought. I need you to surrender to a whole new paradigm that we've just introduced in Christ. It's a radical paradigm. He is sufficient. He has brought all things. Here he is. Repent. Then let everyone be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Convert. Move into the agreement with this as sufficiency. Jesus Christ has answered every charge against you. Father says Jesus justified as you justify. Father has said there's no condemnation that can follow you into your future because Jesus has been raised from the dead. And now he's interceding. And he's saying, sin's a past issue. My second appearing will not be with any issue about sin. It's all about the future. And all I've got is an intercessory grid on the future that you're in that's unfolding before you. So I want to prophesy. Let me prophesy. Cammie and I were talking about, we have to learn to preach to our souls. And your soul is a riley thing, man. It will counterfeit and take usurp everything of God, because, and it'll create a religion about everything. That's why this yielded life is saying, oh, God, but you. You're everything. And then you're going to get your sins remitted. That means you're going to get free. Repent, be converted, be remitted. And then comes the gift of the Holy Spirit. Every day, all day. Every day, all day. Wow. Who? Do I have time? Oh, gosh. Was that enthusiastic? Go for it. Or was that a polite go for it? Ephesians chapter 1, 3 verses, and we're done. It's all by faith, guys. You pull your faith away, the receiving stops. And yeah, so, but here's the good news. Ephesians chapter 1, about verse 14. The whole chapter is a beautiful chapter. We'll look at 3 verses, show you Holy Spirit in action, and we're going to let him come in and heal all. Oh, I love this. You said, go for it, enthusiastically. All right, real quick. Verse 11, catches. We'll start up next week on this. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, in Christ. Christ has it all. It's all his. And in all his, he's dividing the spoil with the strong. Each of us have an inheritance unique to us, to our creation and salvation, redemption. We've obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. It wasn't your choice. He didn't say, you want to pick which your inheritance will be. He already made it before you were born, and now it's being activated in Christ. That we who first trusted Christ should be to the praise of his glory. Access is Christ. Access is Christ. Nothing else without Christ. Christ has access to everything. He's the door that shuts everything else from following. In him you also trust, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. See, again, it's all about praising him, all that God has accomplished. In him you also trusted. That's now speaking of us, because he's writing to the people, to Ephesians. You also trusted after you heard the word of truth. I'm telling you the truth today. Telling you truth of who Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. When you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, because truth becomes what we believe, which then releases salvation, in whom also, having believed in him, now you're in believing in this Christ that we just explained in the first 10 verses, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Whew. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Why is he called the Holy Spirit of promise? Because he's continually commanding promise into the future and completion. Who is the guarantee? Who is the guarantee of our inheritance? We are going to come alive in our journey with Jesus to our inheritance in Christ. And it will not be the inheritance of our neighbor. It'll be the inheritance that we have in Christ. And in that inheritance, Holy Spirit's going to begin to activate. It's going to be called the word of our confession, a confession of our hope. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit's going to continue to build in it, build on it, take every bad thing in our life and turn it into good. Every bad thing, every awful thing, every evil thing, he's going to turn it into good. Every tormenting season, every sickness, every disease, he's going to take it, he's going to commandeer it, and he's going to say, I have the authority because of Jesus Christ to take your life that you hate, and I'm going to make it the most beautiful thing, and it's going to be the praise of his glory. It's going to all be because of the grace I can do it, and Jesus reported it, and I'm the man, I'm the God, I'm the Spirit to do it. That's Holy Spirit talking. I'm going to do it. And I'm going to see to it that it's going to be an active escrow. And there are no contingencies in your escrow. And God doesn't listen to contingencies by you. He's just taken over. I'm going to bring the purchase possession. Until we get this whole thing fully vested, paid for, keys in hand, to the praise of his glory. Guarantee of the inheritance until the redemption of the purchase possession. Wow. Does anybody feel excited about that? I mean, will that help you? I mean, whoa. Let's stand up. Whoa. I mean, come on. We I want to know this Jesus. I want to behold this glorified Christ. I want to become like him. I want to be transformed from glory to glory. I'm turning right now my face to Jesus so the veils over my mind and heart can be removed. I am coming to behold the glory of God that is found now in the face of Jesus. What do you need today? He's here to give it. He's here in manifestation, Holy Spirit's administration, healing, deliverance, salvation, the Holy Spirit himself, baptism, renewal, speaking in tongues. He is everything. He's here through Holy Spirit to administer everything that Father has, as Jesus has, and Holy Spirit brings it so it's accessible to us today. Ho, kikaba. I feel there's a strong unction in my spirit, those words that were last spoken to come out of Romans 8, that all of our life's circumstances that have led to misery and destruction and despair, led to losses and confusion and chaos, shame and brokenness and reproach. The Lord would say, I want that. I want it back again. Come on. I want to take it and I want to reorganize it, rearrange it from ashes to beauty, from mourning to joy, from sorrow to singing, from heaviness to praise, from confusion to clarity. I'm coming. I'm here. Who will give me their stuff? Who will give me their stuff? Their sin, their failures, their shortcomings, the offenses, the man. Give me your stuff. Whoa. And in place of the stuff, we receive Jesus. The inheritance in Jesus, the place in Jesus, the promises of Jesus, the victory of Jesus. Whoa. So now stand there in the presence of God and receive what Christ possesses as you release what you don't want. Receive healing. Receive deliverance. Receive salvation. Lord, I receive your salvation. He's better than Amazon. You click send and they say your purchase is complete and you're ticked off if it isn't there in 2 days. We need to get expectancy again alive. God, you are good. Right now, he's healing us. Right now, he's saving us. Right now, he's delivering us. Right now, he's redeeming. Right now, he's becoming wisdom. Right now, we are not waiting for tomorrow. It's here now. We're active in our faith. We're taking hold. Labano, we're receiving. An active Labano. We're receiving. We worship you, Jesus. You're my Savior. You're my help. You're my hope. You're my deliverance. Whoa.
And as you speak, 100 billion galaxies are formed in the vapor of your breath. The planets form. If the stars are made to worship, so alive. I can see your heart in everything you've made. Every vapor is a signal fire of grace. If creation sings your praises, so will I. So will I. So will I. I praise you, Lord. I praise you, Lord.
Come on, make it your song. Let it be engaged.
I praise you, Lord.
You are the Lord.
I praise you, Lord. I praise you, Lord.
Yes.
praise you, Lord.
The Lord Christ, the
anointed. Yes. I praise you, Lord. I praise you, Lord.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Power.
I praise you, Lord.
Yes, faith in his name. That last verse about sin separating. So the last, do you have it? What? What you're doing right now, but at the last verse. No, not that one. Oh. Alright, stop. This is perfect. Receive life, salvation, and healing, deliverance, forgiveness, glory, love, hope, faith. Receive his goodness. Collect it, collect it, collect it, collect it, collect it. Lord, we bless you for this incredible wealth of glory being distributed to us right now. And we say, in the name of Jesus, we receive it. And we say, Lord, give us the eyes to see and the ears to hear, to begin to behold this resurrected Christ for ourselves personally, to obtain and unlock the inheritance we have in Christ for us individually and corporately for all eternity. We say, Lord, you're doing it. And you're a Holy Spirit. We welcome you. Lord, take your mission, Holy Spirit. We want you to take your mission seriously, as you already do. And we ask you to just fully engage your mission on our lives. Fully engage your mission of glorifying Christ in our lives. In every way, in any way, for the glory of God, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Ministry team will be up front.